Please turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we can enjoy in you. For you are our Lord God. We thank you that you oversee the affairs of our life, and never more so as when we are dependent upon you. As our Lord and as our God, as our refuge, we're thankful that we may completely trust in you. So we're thankful for this night, dear Father, that we may come together and we may meet as your people, particularly, Father, around your word and around prayer. Ask that these things would be and would continue to be very precious to us, for they are the direct links between yourself and your people. So we look to you, Father, and ask your blessing upon this evening, upon our view into your word. Help us to see you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Rightio. Psalm 91. I want to look just at verse 1. Very simply, it's a very simple truth, really, although not always quite so easy to live. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The verse naturally divides in halves. So that's what we're going to try and do, divide the verse in half. And if we do that, I think what we can see is that there's kind of a parallel running through the verses. No doubt you know that Hebrew poetry was not a rhyme of sound, it was a rhyme of thought. And what we have here is a great example of that rhyme of thought. So not only parallels, but I think we'll find more than just those parallels. So excuse my writing, I'm not a teacher by any stretch. I'm not an artist. I'm just a scrapper. Anything that I do is only half done. So what have we got? We've got the two bits. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So as I see it, there are two key thoughts, and everything sort of revolves around those two thoughts. So the first one that I'd like to focus on, we'll focus on each one in its turn. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So that's the first one, secret place. So we'll put that here. Ah, good night. Secret place. That's not even straight, but it'll do. And the second one, what if we take that as the first one, what would the second one be? Shadow. Very good. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So it should be, there's two S's to start them off. Secret place and shadow. In these two things, we find very much the something at the heart of the Christian life and something that should undergird every thought and every action that we live through our Christian life. So we have quite a significant verse in that regard, don't we? So secret place, that doesn't work. Okay. That's so that we remember to chuck it out. Otherwise, it'll go back up there and someone will have the same problem next time. I'm going to have to use green. That's a pain. Okay, secret place and shadow. Let's start with the second one. We'll start with some thoughts on the second one first. Bounce back onto the first bit. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is our great comfort under the shadow of whom? Yes, but the word that's in the verse. Almighty. Almighty, very good. So Almighty, it's a very plain word, isn't it? It represents to us God, not just as God, but as God as being powerful. In any of the things that we face in life, in any of the affairs that we address, in any of the difficulties that approach us, in any of the situations that are likely or that we fear will unsettle our life and unsettle our mind, the great comfort should be that the God that we serve is not just God, but that He is Almighty God. So this secret place, this shadow, sorry, I mean, it's good. We like a shadow, particularly in hot places like up here. The first time I came up to Queensland, up to Cairns, second time actually, came here as a kid. But when I came up here on deputation, which was then the first time I met Pastor Buddy, he was still living, he and his family were still in the farmhouse, if memory serves me correct. I came into Cairns and then I got out of my van and the heat, it was in December, the heat was so oppressive, I was running from shelter to shelter just to find the shade. That's how hot it was. Now, maybe people that live there don't find it that oppressive, but I sure did. It was like the rain, only it was heat. I thought, there's the shadow. Step out. Sting. Step in. Whew. A few degrees of relief. So shadow in itself is something, but we've got the shadow here. More than just that, we've got the shadow of the Almighty. That's what makes that shadow significant. So the shadow that I was under could fall, could fail, or the heat could rise so high that even in the shadow, I don't find relief. But this shadow that we find in God, because it's the shadow of the Almighty, there is nowhere it does not reach, and there is no oppression that it can't shield us against. So this shadow is made significant by this word here, Almighty. But the reason we started here is because of some words here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. So we've got a connection then between this side and that side, haven't we? In order to enjoy this, we need to know this. The shadow of the Almighty comes as a result or a fruit or an onflow of what we find on this side. So here we have the secret place that shows us the shadow. Now the secret place is the secret place of what in the verse? The Most High. Let's put that word down. Now we've got a second tier here. And here is where we can begin to open up things in a practical way or perhaps make them uncomfortable. The secret place. We'll come to the secret place in a minute. But this secret place belongs to the Most High. Now the Most High conveys a different thought than Almighty conveys, correct? What thought does Most High convey? How much time do I have? I've got half an hour, haven't I? Is that right? Holy, yeah, we could take that one. Let's search for something else. But holy, I like holy. I'm not going to throw that one out. I'm looking for something out. If God's most high, there's none higher. Now we're getting close. What does none higher mean? Practically, in any practical sense, if God's the most high and there's no one higher than God, then God is the final... Sorry? Who said that? Thank you. Someone throw him a lolly. He's the final authority. We've got an idea here. We could say holiness. Holiness conveys something of the same idea, but much more. What we've got here is God in his authority, in his rightful place, as the supreme authority, the supreme God, the most high. So we would say, if we were meeting the Queen, for example, not that I have any desire to, but if we did, we would say, Your Highness, perhaps. And this might just be me. I'm a little awkward with that because I don't see any of the royal family as particularly high and noble. But nonetheless, they have a position and perhaps we need to recognize it. So we consider Your Highness, but God is most high. He's higher than them. If we're in a courtroom, we would recognize Your Honor. That's the appropriate address you'd have to give. If you didn't do that, you'd be corrected. If you refused the correction, you'd be held in contempt of court, probably. Because he sits in the seat of power. Keep in mind that those people, you're not really honoring him, you're honoring his position. So even if you don't like the judge, you need to respect the fact that he has a position in this land that is necessary. Even though sometimes they don't exactly get it right. But God is the Most High. He's the final authority. He has absolute sway over all things. Now, we all know that we're not Calvinists, but shoving the ridiculous nature and argumentation of Calvinism aside, God still does overrule. It is still proper to say that God is sovereign. It is still appropriate to recognize his sovereignty because it is still true. We just also recognize that in his sovereignty, he has given us free will. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he is sovereign. It means that over all of time, we take time from beginning to end, take all the choices of men, all the ridiculous, wicked, sinful choices that we make, us and everyone else, when it comes to the end, God will still have his way in the end. All our stupidity will reflect upon us, but does not unsettle God. We will face judgment, but God stands just. He is the final authority. So we've got a secret place here, and that secret place, I think it'd be reasonable to say, that secret place is the Most High. Now, the importance of putting these two things together is this recognition that if we want the experience of the almightiness of God, we have to recognize the highness of God. But what we want is almighty without authority. We want shadow without the secret place. We want to know what it is to experience in our life, God, please protect me from all these things that assail me. But then we make no effort to put ourselves under his authority and live in the secret place of his presence. So we want the one without the other, but we're told very clearly here, you can't have this without that. They come as a package deal. They come as a connected deal. It's a thing here, what God wishes and we could say delights to present and to show for and over his children. But he is compelled to say that if you cannot recognize this, I cannot give you this. Just think about it. If God allowed us to have the experience of his almighty governing and oversight without this, we could and would do whatever we want, whatever we wished, lived however we wished, in which case we would be bringing more and more upon ourselves and then just going to God and saying, God, please take care of it in the end. Sowing our wild oats and then saying, God, protect me. Making all our poor choices and saying, God, provide for all my poor financial choices. It doesn't even make... Well, I was going to say common sense. I don't know if common sense exists anymore. No doubt you've all heard seen the T-shirt. Common sense now qualifies as a superpower. That's just about that, isn't it? Common sense is such a rare thing. So few people have it that it you can't call it because it's not common. So it's no longer common sense. But good sense we desperately, desperately need. But the most basic good sense is simply to recognize God. Would that not be fair to say? If you want to teach your kids, you teach them all manner of good sense, all manner of good judgment, all manner of righteousness, but the most fundamental thing you have to teach them is that there is a God in heaven and we are accountable to him. He is the Most High God. We need to recognize his authority. In any practical sense, what that requires is for you, in each area of your life, to say, Lord, this belongs to you rightly and properly. Lord, you've allowed me to buy this house. I'm thankful for it, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. I have this car. It's a good car, and I'm paying for it. And I know that you'll work hard to pay for these things, but you have to recognize it is God which giveth the ability to make wealth. You have to recognize God owns this car. If you have a relationship, you have to recognize this relationship belongs to God. If you have kids, these kids belong to God. Isn't that the fundamental failure of society? Now, think of this. We're having probably two or three generations generally of young people in our society today that have had scripture removed from the classroom, from their lives. So now there are people facing, well, really, they're facing all the problems that people would normally face, but they have no God to face it with because he's never been presented to them as Lord. What were the first two phrases that the Apostle Paul addressed to Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? The first question was, who are you, Lord? The second one, which was perhaps his first statement as a Christian, Lord, what would you have me to do? That is like the grassroots of Christian living. For all the things we might hope to develop this way or that, it comes down to there at the roots of it, Lord, what would you have me to do? In fact, knowing the benefit of that, God will work hard to bring such experience into your life as to try and compel you to this point here. His lordship. To recognize that he is Lord over your life. So for you, you have to ask yourself, each one here, what does God have to do to get you to recognize his lordship? That's the big question. The more stubborn we are, the further God has to push, and then that's not his problem, that's mine. I've compelled him that way. If he's going to bring me to a good place here and here, he has to push harder here if I'm stubborn here. So what does God have to do to get your attention, to gain the control of the life, to press you to the point where you will finally yield and say, Lord, it's not my life. I can't make heads or tails of this mess. I cannot bring any good thing from it. Only you have the wisdom and the power to do that. I now yield. Nothing happens in the Christian life until we have passed that point. It's like the first base. All the rest doesn't really happen until we can put our foot there and say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. That's the secret place. Secret perhaps to the world, but not really that secret to us. And where do we find the core of this secret place? But in Jesus Christ the Lord. The Apostle Paul again, Lord, what would you have me to do? Reading through the epistles, we see time and time again the idea of whether we do this or do that or have this responsibility or that responsibility, it all comes back to Christ being at the hub of it. So somewhere in our Christian life, we have to find this secret place. You have to have your secret place. That place that really only you and God know of. That place where you and he came to terms. Where you recognized his rightful lordship over your life. This secret place is found by you knowing your own private secret place. And we'd have to say it's only maintained if we maintain a secret place with him. A place where it's just you and he. Around his word, in the place of prayer, where a Christian develops the most simple but most profound and powerful relationship in his life, his relationship with Jesus Christ. Could you sit here tonight and honestly say to God himself, because it doesn't in a sense, it doesn't matter to me. Could you say to him, Lord, I know my secret place with you. Other people may see me, but they don't know the secret of it and the relationship of it. Without that secret place, everything that we read here and then everything that comes from it in the rest of the chapter is not going to be your constant enjoyment. You may see here or there the gracious hand of God, his mercy to you, but you'll not know the richness of the shadow until you know the authority of the secret. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High then shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This Christian can then move on to find what it is to dwell through that secret place under God's shadow. That's where he puts his protection. I have it here. Some people will illustrate it that way. You have a place, you walk under the protective hand of God, but you can step out from under that, in which case whatever falls is your choosing. You chose to move out from under his protection. Do you want the shadow of God over your life? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's take it one step further and then I can let you go, or let us go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have something here that is, it's in a sense from us towards God, and here from God toward us. So we could say that here, what I learn is me in Christ. That's the hub of New Testament truth, isn't it? The Christian who is born again lives in Jesus Christ. Because I live in him, I enjoy his death, I enjoy his life, I enjoy his forgiveness, justification. All these things are the benefit of me beginning to realize, after I'm born again, I am in him. For example, my name, as you know, is Bobby Buren. That means I'm the son of Wolf Buren. That's actually his first name, Wolf. It was Wolfgang, but when he came to Australia, the guy that registered my dad in Australia said, Wolfgang, that's not a very good name. Let's just call you Wolf. Fancy that. Now, my dad's not complaining because he thinks Wolf. I mean, what guy wouldn't want to have a cool name like that? Yeah, who are you? My name's Wolf. That was pretty sweet. So my dad now is, I in a sense, having been born from my father, I stand in my dad and benefit all from everything from my father. My mum and dad have a small property in a village up in the Blue Mountains, way south of here and a good deal cooler. When they die, that becomes mine. I'm seen in many regards, I'm seen as being in my father, coming from him and standing in him. There are many things that my dad could do that could reflect upon me. In a loose kind of sense, that gives me the idea of what it is to be in. I am legally considered in Christ and benefit from being legally his child. But now when I move over here, I learn more. I learn here about Christ in me. What's the difference? In some ways, not enough, but think of it this way. Here, I'm learning simply of my position, who I am legally in Christ. Here, I'm learning benefit. Because Christ is in me, then whatever comes from my life is as great as Christ in me. My life, I can look down the line of whatever God has ahead of me, and I can look at it two ways. The first way, what am I capable of? The second way, what is Christ capable of? That's the two differences, isn't it? When a young Christian begins to see that God might have something for him, the first intimidating thought is, how do I do that? But the recognition that should come with an understanding of this book is that it's not me, it's Christ in me. I go to the mission field, it's not about what I think I'm capable of. It's about what I think I can trust God for Christ to do in me. When I look at your Christian life here, whether it comes to song leading or praying or reading the Bible or doing anything, it's either you thinking, how can I do this? Or you realizing, can Christ live it in me? Can he enable me? Can he empower me? Can he do this through me that I thought pretty well impossible? Doesn't that change then the whole scope of the Christian life ahead of you? It changes then from, no, I can't do it, to yes, he can do it through me. To know this is impossible to, okay, humanly it's impossible, but in Christ all things are possible. It changes entirely. The whole scope of the Christian life alters, and we find ourselves then under the shadow of the Almighty. Because Christ is in me. We can then look through the rest of the psalm and see the unfolding of this situation, this circumstance, that circumstance, and always come back to this, Christ in me. Christ in you. Your whole future from this point forward can be rewritten if you can begin to recognize it is not me, it is Christ in me. I can do whatever Christ wishes me to do now. It may not be as great as the next guy, but I can do what he wants me to do. When I'm brought low, I can still live because Christ is in me. When I suffer, I can still survive because of Christ in me. When I face hardship, I can still survive because of Christ in me. But it still comes back to that first part, the secret place of the Most High. We can never know Almighty until we know authority. And I guarantee you, you fail to bow to authority and you may get to the point where you doubt Almighty altogether and rule it out. And then all your life is just you and what you think you can do. The starting point for you tonight might simply be a matter of, Lord, here's the deed of my life. Take it. You own me through Christ and by his blood anyway. I'm now giving you the right. I'm recognizing your authority. Take it. And if you want to know what that deed entails, just sit down sometime and write a list of everything you think or know about yourself, everything you own, every potential you think you have, every goal in your life. Write it down on that list and then underneath sign it over to Christ. So that's yours. Your house, your car, your education, your future, your hairstyle, your clothing, your partners, your potential partners, your kids, your potential kids. Sign, here it is, Lord, here's the list of the whole thing. I no longer own this. I'm going to make this the beginning of my secret place. And I'm going to yield it all to you. And I'm going by you, I'm going to endeavor then to face everything that comes my way. Knowing that I'm in you and that you are in me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a blessed promise. But Almighty only comes after authority. Thank you.